crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh. You can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy. Scatly-dee-bop, shabba-dooey. Gravel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
Thanks for listening. This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie. And how you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing great. So far, so good, anyway.
That's good. Well, we've got... It's got Toby a very good show tonight because we have Toby with us.
Oh, God.
A special guest. I'm sorry, Toby. I couldn't resist making a pun out of your name. You know me and the puns.
That's okay. I love puns, especially yours.
Woo-hoo! Well, then you've come to the right place. You're listening to the right show because we make a lot of them.
Don't make a pun out of come to the right place.
I will refrain from doing so.
So we've had guests before, but this time we're having a guest via Skype. So the sound quality might be a little worse. I hope it's doable.
Yeah, we're thinking it's pretty decent. We were going to try to use this convoluted program to record via Skype called... It was called some, like, status thing, like wiretap. I didn't like that. You know, that was, like, the first bad sign. And then we tried to use it, and it was like, copyright, copyright, you cannot use this. And so then we just said, this isn't too cool.
So I think we're just going to do it the old-fashioned way. So what we're going to do first is read the question that you sent us, and then have you give us any updates, and then we'll all three start talking about it. Does that work, Toby?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Oh, well, actually, you just said that, Mike, and that is what we're going to do. But before we do that, we should let people know that if they're listening to us maybe on the Liberty Radio Network, which is very cool, lrn.fm, you should check them out. You can go to our website, visit us at porktherapy.com. That's porctherapy.com. And if you have any questions that you would like to ask us, you can email us. What's our email address, Mike?
Questions@porktherapy.com, and they can also call us.
Yes, you can call at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Right.
And if you don't know what numbers that translates to, well, we're not going to be much of a help.
Yeah. Look at your phone.
Yeah, hit the internet. That's the answer for everything. Okay,
Google it.
So Toby wrote to us a while ago, and you know, this question was really an awesome question because I think probably...
Very important.
I think it's probably really common. Yeah, and as you said, Mike, really important about getting along with people in a voluntary society,
well,
you know?
Even in this society, this is a question about work relationships and who doesn't work.
A lot of people don't work. Yeah. But I think a lot of people do work at some time during their life and, you know, they... inevitably are going to deal with people at work that they may have conflicts with. And, you know, we're big advocates on the show of communication and, you know, communication being able to solve problems. But what do you do if you're dealing with someone who's just kind of a jerk? And that's what this question will explore.
Yeah.
So should we read Toby's original question?
You or me?
I don't know. Let's flip a coin, Mike.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
Yes, it's heads.
Oh, well, that's just wonderful.
Okay.
This isn't a video podcast. Okay. Excuse me. Getting over a little bit of a cold,
oh,
Mike.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Want me to read it?
No. Okay. I did get heads after all.
Yes.
So. Okay, so here's the question. So Toby writes, I have a new question for you guys. How do you deal with an abusive boss? I recently got my first real job out of school, and after working there for 4.5 months... I was put on a project directly supervised by one of the firm's partners. I am an architect, and the job in question is designing his house. Lots of potential for conflicts and stressful situations there. Oh, so the job was designing a house for one of the firm's partners. So it was for someone who you were actually working with. You were designing his own house. Is that right, Toby?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Wow, yes. And as you said, definitely lots of potential for conflict there and strife. Okay, so then the question goes on. As soon as I got on this job, he started making comments completely out of line, mostly regarding the fact that I had very little real professional experience and that at 28, I should be much more advanced in my career. Well, okay, well, I'll avoid pontificating on it until we read the whole thing, but I had some thoughts there. Okay, anyway, and then it goes on. I am expected to do a lot of things I have no experience doing with extremely limited guidance. This has gone on for about a month now, and I'm reaching my limits. I want to act before it gets worse or too late, but I want to do it right, avoid hurting the wrong sensibilities, and maybe gain a little bit of trust in the process. How would you suggest I go about taking care of this issue? What's the best way to tell him that I'm not to be verbally abused anymore and that I should be treated with respect? Should you need a more detailed explanation of the situation to prepare a podcast, I'd be happy to provide you with more details, which Toby right here to do. And then finally, we have to toot our own horn a little bit. The last part of his email says, on another note, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of months now, and it really changed my perspective on interpersonal relationships. I made your motto, communication is key in any relationship, mine, and try to apply this to my daily life, and so far it's had only positive effects.
Yay!
And he says, I want to encourage you to keep up the good work. And
Thanks for listening, and I'm glad you're improving your own relationships.
Yeah, we really appreciate that, Toby. Like, I mean, we pretty much do this show for fun. But, you know, if we can help people, you know, apply communication to their own lives, like, that's really great. That's why we're here. So, thanks.
Now, before we begin our pontification, which is normal, what updates can you provide us? Actually, I will interrupt and say we've had so many questions that this one took a back burner because we were trying to get Toby live on the show with us, and it took a back burner, and a lot of time has passed since he wrote this. So what has happened since then, Toby?
So I wrote you the question probably about a month ago, I think.
Okay.
Maybe a month and a half. I lost my job a couple days afterwards.
Oh, just a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found another job a couple of weeks later, so as far as working, I'm fine, but, yeah, what I did essentially is that I emailed my boss a few days after I sent you the questions, because I just couldn't take that situation anymore, and I said I need to talk to you as soon as possible, and we sat down. I explained to him as professionally as I could what was not working for me as well as what was working, and by the time I was done, he just said, I think you should leave the firm, and it's not a place for you, and blah blah blah, and then we had a long discussion, but essentially trying to fix the issue got me laid off.
Interesting.
Well, the first thing I would say to that is maybe that's a good thing, because if he was continuously making you feel, you know, I mean, I think nobody can make you feel a certain way like you decide to feel a certain way, but nobody should have to put up with insults and bad comments every single day when all they're trying to do is do their job to the best of their abilities. Like, that's not a polite way to interact with someone. What do you think, Mike?
I completely agree. And in this situation, in a work situation where there's a, let's say, a personal conflict and neither person's right or wrong, they just don't get along.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the case, but even in that case, if one of those people is the company owner or a partner, that's the person who's going to stay and the other person's going to go.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm curious, Toby, how do you like your new job? Is that working out for you?
Well, I just started, so it's hard to say, but it's not exactly in my field. I'm actually a cell phone salesman now.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's money until you find another architecture.
Yeah, exactly. It pays the bills, and I'm probably going to learn a lot from it, so I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a blessing in disguise, because after I got laid off and I got over the, you know, shock of it, I realized that I wasn't happy at that job and that it was a good thing that I had to go.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that is, that I like
That's
you said, a blessing
outlook.
In disguise,
yeah.
Right.
So, and it really forced me to sort of sit back and try to figure out what I was going to do next. And now I have a couple projects in mind that are probably going to take a while to take off. But I'm thinking about giving my career a new direction, and so I'm exploring different things, and it's pretty exciting time.
Good.
Actually,
excellent.
Yeah, that is excellent, and I think that's kind of a common experience. I've spoken to a number of people who have gotten laid off or lost jobs or the job just wasn't working out for them. And, you know, it inspired them to go in a new direction with their career. And after they went in that new direction, they said, oh man, I'm so happy this happened. At the time, I was kind of upset that I lost my job or it didn't work out. But now I'm really happy because it allowed me to explore this other passion of mine. So hopefully that happens for you too.
Yeah, that's exactly, well, it's at a very early stage, so we'll see where it takes me, but I don't have to worry too much about money for now, and I have other things on my mind that keep me busy, so that's really what matters to me.
Good.
Now, I have a question for you, Toby. Is this, I assume if you were trained as an architect, you know other architects. Is this common in that field for our bosses to kind of be hierarchical, authoritarian, and kind of yell and
demeaning?
Yeah,
it's extremely common, actually. Mm. It's architecture is notorious for that. The other thing is that most architects are not trained to manage businesses.
Oh.
And they're usually very bad at it.
Well, that's the question I want to get to. So how did you get this particular job, that not the job, but this project where you were being supervised by the firm's partner to build his personal house? How did you get that project?
It's simple. My actual project manager was on vacation, and the partner took advantage of that to take me apart. Not take me apart, but
Freudian slip.
Take me onto his project.
Okay, so now
I'm gonna say your manager's not there, so you're gonna help me while he's away, and then it kept dragging on for weeks until I got laid off, basically.
And this person who took advantage of your project manager's absence is the partner, and it is the homeowner.
Yeah.
So this very person chose you and then berated you while you were working for him.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound very good.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I think of is that even if this is, like, kind of a standard in the field, like, if it's really common to kind of berate the so-called underlings or the new people or whatever, that
we
doesn't...
We call them cat monkey in the industry.
Cat monkeys, wow. Yeah, and that name is really telling. I mean, I kind of see this, too, in, like, the medical profession, you know, there'll be these old doctors that'll kind of say, oh, well, I was, you know, I had to be on call every night during my residency,
yeah,
so you're gonna work just as hard. And, you know, it's that may be tradition, and that may be what that person experienced when they were coming up in that field and being trained, but it doesn't make it right.
Or good.
And it doesn't make it a good way to learn, either. I mean, I think that respecting people and helping them learn new things and treating them with respect, as I already just said, treating them with respect, and you know, helping build their self-esteem is the way to help them learn. It's not to berate them, to demean them. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh yeah, completely. And but that's the way this particular guy works. He likes to instill fear in his employees, so they make sure they work on weekends and they.
Wow.
Say yes to everything he says.
See, it sounds like...
I really learned one thing from this experience is that it's just a job, and I'll find another job. I already did, but it's probably not going to be my last job. And there's not much to worry about, because I'm pretty confident that I'm good at what I'm doing, and I'll figure out a way. It's just... it's really hard to get over the confidence-crushing experience in the first couple of days where you try to figure out what was wrong. And I'm not saying I didn't do anything wrong, because...
Well, you mentioned that you didn't know a lot of stuff that you were expected to do and you were trying to learn it on the go, and that's acceptable and common. And if it's not acceptable in a particular project, then the person who hired you should not have hired you. Right, they should have done their due diligence.
Or they should have helped you.
Where I was going is that the day I was fired, I first of all, I made sure I left graciously because I didn't want them to have a bad image of me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a nice person. I have no reason to do anything stupid in that situation. But also, I spoke to all the managers I had worked under, and what came out of it is that they thought I was more qualified than I actually was.
Uh-huh.
Not that I misrepresented myself in any way, just because they just thought I knew more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the school I went to or the way I behaved at work or whatever the reason. And hence, they asked me to do more stuff than I was actually capable of doing.
Hmm.
And that
so
was my demise, basically.
So, Toby, when you encountered something that you that they asked you to do or expected you to do that you weren't sure how to do, how did you handle that? Did you ask for help or did you?
I did ask for help whenever I could, but it's the kind of firm where everybody is always too busy to help you.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. I would also try to do my best on my own. Mm-hmm. But what would happen most of the time is that I would just have to redo the work 5-10 times over because I was not given proper instructions or guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like...
It sounds like poor communication. You know, First of all...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right. It sounds like probably when they hired you in the first place, they didn't give you an accurate picture of what they expected of you or what they thought that you could do, and somehow they got the wrong idea. I'm not saying that you misrepresented yourself in the interview or anything like that, just for whatever reason they didn't do enough due diligence and they thought that, you know, you could do these things unsupervised that you didn't really know how to do. And also, you know, when those situations came about, when you realized that there were certain responsibilities that you had that you couldn't, that you needed some help to do, instead of helping you, instead of giving you constructive criticism or resources that you could check out to help get those done, they berated you, basically. And how would that help you learn? How would that help you get it done? It almost seems like the military, you know? It's like, it's just, they're using fear as a tactic to try to, I don't know, scare you into working or scare you into doing a good job. But how does anyone perform under pressure like that? It doesn't make sense.
I personally don't, and I'm glad I don't work there anymore.
Yeah, I'm glad too, because now you seem to be a lot happier, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
So getting back, Toby, to the confrontation with the supervisor or the boss, can you kind of walk us through? Like, you said that you emailed him and said, "I need to talk to you in person," right?
So it all happened really quick. It was Monday morning. I think it was August 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So about a month ago. So I had been thinking about talking to him personally for a good couple of weeks, but mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons, I hadn't done so yet. So what I did is the day before, I sat down and like wrote a list of things I wanted to talk about and made sure my thoughts were organized and clear and everything.
Mm-hmm. Good way to do it.
Monday morning, I emailed him. I said, "I need to talk to you ASAP." I didn't give him any more details. I just said, "We need to meet." A couple hours later, he comes to my desk and we meet in like a conference room, and I explained what I had to say, and when I was done, I think you should leave. And
did you guys
talk about it for like 45 minutes, because I really wanted to like first get some feedback for myself and also give him some feedback, because you know, being insulted on a regular basis and being like made fearful of potential consequences is just, I don't work well with fear.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more so than other people, because I tend to like freak out and just stress even more, and it doesn't help me. So
sure.
So we talked. We had a really constructive conversation. Well, it could have been better, but it was a good start.
Mm-hmm.
A good start to a finish.
By the end of the conversation, essentially, I said, "Nah, there's no point for me to stay. I might as well leave."
So it was kind of a mutual termination of that work relationship, I guess.
Well, I didn't say it out loud, but essentially that's what it,
By the end of the conversation, you decided it was time to leave.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. Well, so
it sounds to me like, you know, I don't know all the details. I know the ones that you've given us, and it sounds to me like this guy, at least, if not other partners, don't really care about healthy relationships or good work. They care more about being the boss and being right and being loud and being in control.
Yeah.
And so it sounds to me like the unhealthy part of this that caused failure instead of progress was his attitude or his goal. I'm assuming it was a him, by the way.
I would say it's a big part of it, yeah.
Well, and the other thing I noticed about the scenario that you described, Toby, was that it sounded like you really did everything right that I heard. I mean, you made a list of, you thought about what you, what was going on. You realized there was a problem. Then you organized your thoughts and you made a list of all the things that you wanted to discuss with the boss. Then you requested a face-to-face meeting, which I think is good because...
The best way.
You know, email things don't always convey, and in person is it's better. You can see facial expressions. And then, you know, you started the dialogue. And it's not... I mean, in a sense, it's almost like going into a kind of confrontation, even though it's... Even though you're not going into it with a confrontational attitude, you're still kind of confronting someone who has been abusive to you in the past, and that takes guts, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely, especially when it's your boss, especially when that boss is the partner of the company.
Yeah, so, and he kind of holds this control over your job, and he's hanging it over your head.
Yeah.
I think, I really couldn't think of anything you could have done better, can you, Mike?
No, but I have a question, Toby. There seem to be two main issues. One, that they were expecting you to do things that you didn't know how to do and weren't telling you or helping you do them. And two, that he was insulting and degrading.
Condescending.
And condescending. Yeah. Are those the two main issues?
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
you summarized it pretty well.
When you spoke to him in this last conversation, how did you bring up those two issues, or examples of those two issues? How did you bring them up to him? How did you present them?
I didn't name him in my list of grievances. I just said some very offensive and insulting remarks were made, and that I said I don't have any guidance. I don't get any feedback. I don't get any deadlines except the day before. So I laid it all out basically and said, and without really aiming at anyone, but when I made the remark about the offensive comments, he knew exactly what I was talking about. There was no need for explanation.
Right. Well, see, now here again, it sounds to me like Toby did everything correctly. He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't throw blame. He did express all the problems that he had, and
yeah, and
in a third party kind of way. I don't remember the term where there's no one. You're not a
passive. Or
yeah, in a passive way, so no one is responsible.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, the other thing I liked about the way that you said that, Toby, was that you used I statements. Like, I feel kind of lost because I'm not getting any feedback, and yeah. I'm not sure what is expected of me. And also, I don't like these remarks that were insulting and that were made to me. You know, you're saying how you feel or what you're thinking. You're not saying, oh, you're making me do this and blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah.
You're kind of just explaining it from your perspective. And I think that's a good way to communicate.
The only thing that I might have done differently myself, and I say might because it's scary, is to the part with the insults, I might have told him directly that, look, you're saying some things that are hurtful to me, and we're not really getting along as well as you and I should be, so let's work on that as well. It's not really necessary when you're also giving out a list of other problems that all need to be addressed, but...
Yeah, I could see how you might want to do that, Mike, and, you know, I don't think it would have hurt if you... I guess this is kind of a style thing, but I don't think it would have hurt to kind of acknowledge that, hey, you know, this is kind of a precedent in the field. I realize that in architecture, you know, oftentimes the higher ups will insult the new people, but I don't feel that I work best that way, and I would appreciate, you know, if we could change that paradigm,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think it is a style choice, because you expressed that there was a problem, and that you would like us to help find a solution,
mm-hmm.
and that's, theoretically, that's going to take care of it if someone's willing. He mm-hmm. wasn't willing, so it ended, and that's fine. If you would went the other way, it's just a matter of style.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The, you know, it's a great learning experience, and I don't really regret... I mean, the pay was good, and that's a little hard when you don't have a job anymore. But
sure.
It's probably for the better.
You're 28, so you'll be getting more jobs, and they'll be in architecture if you want them to be.
Yeah, and hey, what a great opportunity to move to New Hampshire for the Free State Project, right?
Yeah, I would have to, I don't know if, I'm still thinking about it, but...
Sure,
you know,
yeah, I didn't mean to give you the hard sell there, I was just kind of making the joke.
I actually thought about it more since I got laid off, but the issue is I don't have the government's permission, and I know it's only more of an excuse than anything else.
Oh, do you mean your immigration status? Or
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is, if you want to build any sort of long-term life somewhere, you have to do things. You have to bow down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That's how this system has been. It has evolved.
Sure, sure.
And it's not even a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Toby, did we answer your question? Do you think that was... I think you pretty much did everything right. I don't know how much useful advice we gave.
And we're like a month too late.
Yeah.
But thanks for being on the show anyway.
That's okay. The thing I would have done differently, and that's what I forgot to make, is that I would have tried to address the issue earlier.
Ah, mm-hmm. that's also actually very good advice, because
yeah.
if a problem is... If you see a problem and you don't address it, I guess there's a chance it'll resolve itself, but there's a bigger chance that it will get worse and worse and worse. So that's a good thought. What else were you going
to
say?
It's actually a lot harder to do than it seems, because when you're in that particular situation, first you live in fear constantly, because you know there's an even slight chance that you might lose your job or suffer some form of...
Right.
Punishment or whatever for doing that. So there's always that fear in the background, and you're busy and it takes time, and you know, you have other things to do, but it's a lesson learned. And I'm not sure it would have changed anything, because I still believe that on top of the so-called professional mistakes that I might have made according to my boss, I have a strong hunch that he didn't really like me as a person, and he just used the first excuse he had to just lay me off.
Hmm.
It does kind of sound like it, because it didn't give you much opportunity to learn or grow or...
No, and he was insulting from the get-go. Like, yeah. the very first day I started working with him, he used those scare tactics to try to get me to do work.
Hmm.
And it worked for about a week or two, and then it all started to fall apart.
I have a question, Toby. How was he at the interview? Like, did he sound all scary when you were interviewing for the job?
Well, that's the thing. I never interviewed for the job. I had a friend who worked there who's not there anymore, for reasons that you may guess. And he essentially got me the job. So what I did is, instead of coming for an interview, I just did like a 2-week trial period.
I see.
But they never properly interviewed me. They just had a look at my resume and my portfolio, and they hired me on that, basically.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it's more of their fault, actually. They they have a procedure to find people that I guess they think are a good match, and they skip their own procedure.
Yeah, that's almost like getting married. Like, that's like an arranged marriage, you know. But you get married without going on a first date, you know.
No, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I said earlier, that architects are really bad at handling business, because the whole firm has basically no support staff. There's no HR. There's one accountant, a couple of communication people, and everybody else is an architect. So there's nobody that really handles the business side of things and takes care of hiring and making sure everything is smooth. And, mm-hmm. and it's a big mess. Essentially, they just handle problems as they come, and they have no foresight whatsoever.
Well, it sounds like you did the right thing by getting out. And again, I think that, you know, you had a good insight in saying that, you know, maybe it would have been better if you had brought the problem up earlier, but also at the same time, you really did the right thing by standing up for yourself.
Yeah, you brought
it
up
when
that line in your head got crossed. You said you didn't even wait for our response, and you said, you know, I can't wait for advice. This is getting worse and I have to deal with it. So
yes,
you might have
kudos.
Wanted to deal with it earlier, but you dealt with it when you dealt with it.
Yeah, and congratulations on that, because not everybody has the guts to stand up for themselves like that. Not just with bosses, but with anyone they perceive to be an authority figure,
right.
Like parents or family or government cops or whatever.
Right.
So good for you for standing up and having a spine. We can
yeah, a good way to do that is just pretend like you don't give a shit about anything. And that helps a lot. Get really drunk.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah,
but
I would recommend the drunk
but actually
part.
The pretending not to care one, if there's something that bothers you and you don't want it to bother you, and you pretend, okay, I'm pretending this isn't bothering me, maybe that can actually help build the habit. So that might be a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks again for writing and listening to the show.
Yeah, we
Toby.
Really appreciate your feedback.
You're very welcome.
And if you all have your own question, you can call us and record your own question at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4.
That's right. Please do. And we love it when we get voicemails, but we also love our emails. And if you want to give us an email, it's questions@porktherapy.com.
And you can learn all of this and hear all of our old episodes and join our female list and
female
Twitter
list,
us
right,
and
I
Facebook us and
it.
Do all kinds of stuff at our website, which is...
Which is Pork Therapy. Well, actually, Toby, what's our website?
Porktherapy.com.
That's right. Porktherapy.com. P-O-R-C.
Yes.
And thanks for calling, Toby, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
We do appreciate it. And everybody out there, take an example from Toby and have good, healthy communication. Stand up for yourself when you feel that you're being put down, and don't take it.
Yeah, I guess the last thing I'll say is even though he got fired for standing up for his rights and for communicating well, he's more happy now. So
absolutely.
It's not the good thing isn't always what you're expecting.
Yeah, the well-paying job isn't always everything, right?
All right, thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks again.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, because Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, an introspective relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy. Scatterly dee bop shabadooey.